Welcome to Divine Intervention. This is a podcast looking at the very finest and some of the best value South African wines with me, Chio Fraser, and our food and wine guru, Michael Oliphant. Sit back, enjoy, and if you've seen what the bottle is, buy one and taste it with us. Welcome back to Divine Intervention. This is a weekly podcast where we try wines, whiskies, brandies, port, sherries, anything produced in the Cape that we regard as really impressive. And the idea is to educate ourselves, to entertain you, and to maybe remind people that you don't have to leave South Africa to eat and drink very well, particularly drink. Joining me on the line from Cape Town, we have our food and wine guru, celebrity chef, author, writer, Michael Oliphant. Michael, great to chat to you again.
John, lovely to be with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thanks for your suggestion this evening. An interesting wine in a rather familiar-looking bottle. But before I get to the wine, just to let you know who we've got with us in the studio this evening, we have journalist and broadcaster Benedicta Dube. Benedicta, great to have you with us.
Thank you, John.
And Chris Gilmore, once again from Absa Investments, joining us for the second recording in a row.
Always great to be here, John. Thank you.
And the third guest in the Joburg studio is a rather dumpy-looking bottle from Lanzerac, one of our well-known Stellenbosch wine estates, particularly for anyone who was a student down in that town at any stage. It's a Lanzerac Rosé, an Alma Mater Rosé. What can you tell us about this, Michael?
John, Lanzerac certainly has a huge history in terms of particularly this wonderful shaped bottle. But the very first Pinotage was branded Lanzerac. It was a 59 vintage bottled in 1961 by the Morkel family in the Bottleray Hills of Stellenbosch. But here we have the Lanzerac Rosé in the teardrop-shaped bottle, which of course has been around for an enormously long time. And what they've done now is they've brought out a set of three, which they've called Alma Mater, the old school, a rosé, a white, and a red. This rosé, in fact, is made from Shiraz and Malbec. The vineyards are both well established. The Shiraz is 13 years old, and the Malbec block is 18 years old. So the vines are producing some fairly good grapes. And this is just one of those delicious, it's sort of summer drinking wines. It's cooled off dry. It's sort of 9 grams per liter of residual sugar. The alcohol is about 12, which is not too bad. But it's just one of those sort of summer fruits, strawberries, watermelons, and a nice sort of sappy, succulent, fruity flavor. And this sort of off dry. It's a wine that you can just sit and watch the sun go down and drink. Really nice and chilled. It's also a sort of a summer salad and delicate sort of chickeny, fishy types of dish kind of wine.
I have to agree with you, Michael. I thoroughly enjoy it. Slightly sweet, but not so sweet that it's unpleasant. Like you, I've tried the white and the red in this range as well. And I have to say, of the three, I really do prefer the rosé.
Yeah, it's a stunner. It really is a really nice wine. And of course, it's got so much history to it, too. You know, the sort of the students who were at Stellenbosch University used to come up and terrorize me when I worked at Lanzerac, when they could get a cheese lunch for 95 cents and a glass of rosé to go with it. It's got a huge appeal.
And is this actually made by the Lanzerac estate? Because I know that there were... The name was also used by one of the larger bottlers in Stellenbosch.
Yes, when Christo Visa owned Lanzerac, he sold a couple of years ago, he actually bought the brand back from Distell. And the wine is made literally on site within a couple of meters of some of the hotel bedrooms. Wynand Lauterkan is a winemaker there, and he's doing a really, really good job because some of their other wines, the other Lanzerac wines, are winning medals and prizes all over the place.
Okay, well, we've had our chat, Michael. Now let's open it up to our Joburg panelists, our Joburg tasters. Benedicta Dube, what do you make of this Lanzerac Rosé?
Well, John, I must say that I love the bottling. It's quite sexy. I quite like the taste. I think it's quite a humble rosé. not in the traditional sense, but in a, you know, in not too dry, not too sweet kind of sense. So I'm quite enjoying it, actually. Love it.
And is this something that you could see yourself having with a braai or on the terrace when the weather in Joburg is pleasant and sunny?
Potentially a Sunday lunch drink, yes. Definitely.
Chris Kilmore, what do you make of the Lanzerite Rosé?
At the risk of diverging from all of you, I agree with Benedict. I like the bottle. It's been around for a long time. It's very recognizable. And yet I find it a bit nondescript, if I'm going to be brutally frank about it. Not unpleasant, and I think I could quite easily quaff copious quantities of it. Exactly, given the right circumstances. Quite easy drinking, but not something that I would intuitively go for if there was something else better around.
Michael Olivier, that's a fair comment. This isn't pretending to be a premium South African wine, is it?
No, not at all. No, it's a quaffer, as Benedicta says, a Sunday quaffer. But you know, today's Friday, and we're quaffing quite happily. No, it's not a serious wine. It's a wine that they're hoping that lots and lots of Stellenbosch students are going to suddenly have a little pang when they see it on the shelf in the bottle store and buy it.
And in general terms, Michael, how is rosé doing? Because as you know, my preference is more often than not for a red wine. There are people who would prefer their white wines. Where does the rosé drinker fit in, or should we all drink rosé some of the time?
I think we should all drink rosé some of the time. I think that rosé has certainly become, in my sort of general gut feeling is that it's become a lot more popular lately. And people are making some pretty serious, really full-bodied, single variety rosés, which are really as good as what you could find in the south of France in the middle of summer.
John, just a quick comment. I think what he said, Chris, that this is indescript. I think the point is that it's trying to satisfy a rosé drinker and a dry white wine drinker, so pretty much a Sauvignon Blanc. So it's almost there. It doesn't satisfy anything, and I think that's what you were talking about when you commented about the nondescript part.
Yeah, it's kind of neither fish nor fowl.
Yeah.
If I want to.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's not fowl, Michael. You've chosen well again. You mentioned there's a variety of other wines at Lanzerite, and of course, like so many of our Cape wine estates these days, admittedly Lanzerite has been in the business for a long time, back to the time you ran the hotel, food and drink on a wine estate is becoming a very important part of the equation, isn't it, in terms of an offering for both the local visitor and the overseas tourist?
Yeah, absolutely. What they're trying to do is to get people to come there, the extra enticement being a named chef, something different, you know, on Noble Hill, for argument's sake, they've got a what they call a Mexican restaurant, but it's actually refined Californian Mexican food rather than sort of Tex-Mex, and that is a huge attraction. You know, on Jordan Wine Estate, you've got a chef like George Jardine there, who's certainly one of the top chefs in the country, let alone the Cape. No, I think that this food offering is a fun thing. On Maldebosch, you can go and build your own pizza in the tasting room and sit there looking out over the vineyards. I think it's good stuff. I like the whole thing about food on wine estates.
And finally, Michael, I recently managed to go to Winex, which, as you know, was up in Joburg recently, and had a tour. I had a feeling that particular exhibition is losing a little bit of its momentum. There didn't seem to be quite as many estates present there. There seemed to be a lot more floor space between the stalls. Part of it was given over to a VIP hospitality area. My whole feel was that maybe they weren't expecting that many people this year compared to what they would have done 5-10 years ago. You go to a lot of these events down in the Cape. Is there, in general, a lack of momentum for wine promotion, or was this maybe just me having a bad evening?
No, I think that you know, there now are so many of this kind of exhibition. For myself, I think Winex is one of the best. I tend to try and go on the first night because that's when all my winemaker friends are there. And that's when I get to see them and you know, shake hands and get a little bit of lowdown of what's happening on the farm. I think that Winex has changed its approach. I like the fact that there's more floor space and you can walk around a little bit. I think it's good to have a sort of a hospitality area. You've got to be careful with food at a wine show like that because of the foodie smells when you should be concentrating on the wine smells. But there are a huge number of these kind of shows, trade shows, going on all the time.
Okay, well, I think we're drawing to the end of this particular discussion, but before we go, I'd just like a few thoughts from our Joburg studio tasters. Benedicta, do you find it useful going to these events? Because I do know people who regard them as a bit snobby, a bit pretentious, and who find them almost intimidating, having to go up and ask for a glass of wine and have to make polite conversation with someone. Whereas obviously it's easier just to snatch a bottle off the shelf at the supermarket and stick a few straws in it when you get home.
Absolutely. John, I want to refer you to the Soweto Wine Festival, which has been a disaster for many years. And the reason is that, you know, wine testing is potentially, you know, to some people, intimidating in a way. And I would like to find a marketer who can make it interesting someday and make it accessible to people who generally wouldn't. You and I would potentially have a glass of wine, and taste wine. But for an ordinary person, it is an intimidating exercise, I think.
And of course, it's very important for the wine industry to expand their customer base. Chris Gilmore, any thoughts on this?
Look, I agree with Benedicta entirely. But having said that, you know, we're chatting with a chap called Michael Olafier here, who is one of the most approachable people you can possibly meet, and as a marketer of the product, I think probably second to none. Coming back to the bit about things like Winex, what I do find useful and valuable there is estates that you've never heard of before. If you're prepared to go and say, listen, I want to actually try that. I mean, to use a classic example, there was a red wine, I'm sure it's still going, called Fionnvoden. A lovely, beautiful red wine, and I'm sure you've many varieties. I'd heard of it, then I saw it at Winex about 10 years ago, tried it, I thought, oh my God, this is a wonderful, wonderful wine. So without actually going and spending an awful lot of money in the supermarket, you can get a grasp of something very, very quickly and try it. So I think that's probably, for me, the best aspect of things like wine exhibitions.
I think that the biggest challenge for wine marketers is to make it accessible to the broader market.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think we're all in agreement then, and unfortunately we're all in agreement that it's time to go. So without any further ado, many thanks to our food and wine guru, my partner in wine, Michael Olafier, down in the Cape. Michael, great to chat to you again.
Thank you, John. It was good time.
And here in the Joburg studio, many thanks to Benedicta Dube, your first appearance on Divine Intervention. I'm sure it won't be the last.
It's an absolute pleasure, John.
And last, certainly not least, Chris Gilmore from Absa Investments. Great to chat to you.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you, John.
So for all of us at Divine Intervention, from me, John Fraser, many thanks for joining us this evening. We'll see you again soon.